Hey, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 7 this morning in a message titled, Everyone Gets a Gift. And there is your favorite character on the screen there to get us started. And if your neighbor doesn't know who it is, you can help them out in just a little bit. But 1 Corinthians 12, 7 is where we're going to begin. Everyone gets a gift. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. One simple verse to start us, but there'll be many more that we're going to look at together as we walk through this. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." I'm going to read it one more time. "Now to each one," somebody say, "That's me." Each one, okay? Each one. It means, we could say everyone. We could say all. "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts that you give us and of the church. We thank you that you give us to one another in this regard, that we read that this is for the common good. I pray, Lord, that you would equip us once again as we gather in your house this day. I pray that through the ministry of the preaching of your word, that we would be built up, that we would be equipped to live for you, that you'd give us another weapon in our arsenal, another tool in our toolbox, Lord God, another arrow in our quiver, Lord God, to live for you, to do battle for you, to glorify you, Lord God, through your word. Hallelujah. Be at work in our hearts, we pray in the name of Jesus. And church, would you pray with me, Lord, speak to my heart and use me for the good of your body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't really, I'm not really an Oprah Winfrey Show fan. In fact, I don't know if I've ever even seen a full episode of Oprah Winfrey. And yet, it'd be hard to live in the United States and not know who she is, that's for sure. And one of the things that I do know that she is known for on her show sometimes, and maybe she does it every show, I don't know, I should have looked that up. But I have seen, of course, this meme, like perhaps you have, of you get a gift, you get a gift, and 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 guess who gets a gift? Everybody gets a gift. And perhaps her most famous episode was one where everyone in the audience got a car. Don't you wish you were there that week? In fact, on the week that everyone got a car, an iPad, and a $1,000 Nordstrom gift certificate. Come on. That's not a bad take. And then on top of that, they gave them $4,000 each to help pay the taxes on all those things. I should have been there that week. I don't know what I was doing, but that's a pretty good one. Everyone gets a gift. If you were there on the show, there wasn't a drawing. It wasn't a random of every other seat. Perhaps you've been in a function where they told you, look under your chair, and if the sticker is there, if the number is there, you win the prize. It wasn't like that. Everyone who was there would get the gift. No one was left out. Now, my wife comes from a large family. My wife is the baby of 8 children. That's a good-sized family. Anybody come from a family with that many kids? A number of you, a number of you. Who's more than 8? More than 8 kids. Give me a number. 10? 12? I know a guy who was the youngest of 17. Bert Persaud was the youngest of 17, I believe. And he told me that every night at dinner, his mom always called him in to serve the plates to his older brothers and sisters, to all the brothers and sisters. And she tapered the food down to where the oldest got the most food, and it gradually declined to the youngest. But he was the youngest, and he was in charge of distributing the plates. And he told me that for years, he actually got the plate that fell around 8 or 9, and none of them knew it. Because since he gave the plates out, that plate just so happened to end up at his place setting. So he got a little tricky with it, if you will. That was a big family. My wife comes from a big family. I have an uncle that has a big family. He's my mom's youngest brother. There they are. He has 13 children. At this present time, they range in age from 28 to 4. All right? So they're still having children up until recently, 28 to 4. And if you look at the picture there, that's mostly just his kids. This is my uncle, and he and I are only about a year apart in age, and his wife. So there's a couple of wives in here. This is a wife. This is a wife. I wish there was a cat here. You ever see a cat play with these things? Anyway, next week's Cat Sunday. Bring your cats. No. So it's all the children, and it's a big family. There's a lot of them. They live in rural Virginia. And each year at Christmas, my wife and I purchase a gift for every one of these children. Now, that's why our children never got anything for Christmas. It's not anything big. It's a token type gift. You know, it's a book, it's a game, it's a toy truck, it's whatever. And they love it. They look forward to it. They can't wait. We show up at their home sometime in that season. We walk in with big bags like I'm Sandy Claus or something, and we drop them down, and the kids sit around. And while we're talking, you can tell they're just anxious, like, come on. And they want us to give them out. And the time comes where we start calling the names out. And we run through the list. And, you know, Caleb and Christian and Gabriel and Charity, and we just go through Malachi and the other ones, whatever their names are, and we just going through all these kids, and we're giving gifts to all of them. I know most of their names pretty good. My wife's like, I can't keep track of who's who. So we're doing it. One year, we give the gifts to all the children, and we're done, and they're opening presents, and they're playing, and there's kids pushing trucks around, and somebody's coloring in their new craft book, and somebody's setting up their new game, and somebody else maybe has like some kind of like craft or something to make, and they're starting to work on that. And one of the kids says, well, what about Noah? And we look, and there Noah sits. He was probably only 7 or 8 years old at the time. And there he sits, and he doesn't have anything. Why are you trying to make me feel bad like that? He doesn't have a gift. So we say, oh, it must be in the car. So I go out to the car, and we look. There's no gift in the car. We come back. There's no gift. And I don't want to lay blame to anybody on this, of who was responsible for him not having a present, but I'm not the one who buys and wraps the gifts or anything. But I'm not pointing anybody out or naming any names in church or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know who it was, but somebody left him out. Anyway, so he doesn't have a gift. So I pulled my wallet out, and I had a $10 bill in my wallet, and I handed it to him. And of course he smiled, and he was old enough at 7 or 8 that he likes getting $10. But his brothers and sisters are all playing with new gifts, and he's just sitting there with a picture of Alexander Hamilton. It's like, whoever in the world that is, yeah. He's sitting there, it was probably Christmas Day. There was nowhere open, and that was what he got. So we left. That was that. He said he was fine. And then sometime later, probably August, September, whenever it was, later that year or a year or so later, my mom called me to tell me a story. She said, I was talking to Noah, Denny's son, and I was saying to him something about you. And I said to him, you know who my son is, right? And he said, yes. He's the one who forgot to give me a Christmas present. To this day, he's like 17 now with a driver's license and a job right now. This summer, he works. To this day, I can be at their home. Would you stand up for me? I'm not going to make you do anything other than stand. Párate. That's my Spanish. Can you look that way? Turn around. To this day, I can be at their house. He will walk up and be standing beside me while we're all talking. And at some point in time, he'll go, remember the year you didn't give me a Christmas present? Just kidding. He never forgot it. Somehow in the you get a gift, you get a gift, you get a gift, you get a gift, he didn't get a gift. That never happens in the kingdom of God. That never happens in the family of God. The Bible says in the passage that we read, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone gets a unique gift in the kingdom of God. Everyone is gifted by Him. Everyone is used by Him. It is God's desire for everyone to be used by Him. So when God gives out gifts to those who are in the church, it is, you get a gift, you get a gift, you get a gift, you get a gift, you get a gift. Nobody gets skipped. There's no, you get a gift, you get a gift, you get one too. Everyone gets a gift. Everyone gets a manifestation of the Spirit, a way that the Spirit is revealed through them in their lives, and it is unique to each of us in our lives as well. Now, I mentioned a Christmas story. When I was a kid, my dad's brother, his name was Harry. Not was, still is named Harry. But Harry and his wife Scarlett, my uncle Harry and aunt Scarlett, they gave my brothers and I a gift every Christmas. And every Christmas for years in a row, every one of us got the exact same gift. Soap. Think about it for a second. You can't make up stories this good. Did you get Dial, Ivory, or Safeguard this year? Every year, we would open up our gift, and we got soap. Do you know how exciting it is as an 8-year-old boy to get soap for Christmas? Sometimes it would be shaped like a baseball or something creative, but it was always soap. So when we got the gifts before we would open them, it was like, well, let's see what soap we got this year. And I don't know if they thought we didn't bathe, what it was, but we always got soap. We always got the same thing. We joke about it to this day, my brothers and I, when we always got soap growing up. Everybody got the same gift. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we all get unique, different gifts. We're gifted uniquely, and we're gifted by God. I am going to run through some examples for you from the Word of God. We're not going to turn to these passages and read all the way through, but you can make note of them and things like that if you want. But I just want to highlight them for you. I know they're trying to record me, and then I'm walking around and probably making it tough on them. Romans 12 says this. Here's some examples of gifts in the Word of God. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, building people up, giving, leadership, mercy. So while one person gets the gift of mercy, one person gets the gift of leadership, one person has the gift of prophecy, another person has a gift of serving, another person has a gift of exhortation, it runs through a list. But there are other passages. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. We have more added to the list. Ephesians 4:1 talks about gifts to the church and callings. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Apostles, prophet, teacher, miracles, healings, helps, administration, tongues. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, speaking gifts and service gifts. So the Bible gives us these long lists of all these examples of the way that God gifts those who are in the church. But those lists are not exhaustive lists. When I say that, I mean that God is not limited to what you find written there. They're given as examples to us of the way God gifts believers. In churches, and especially in Pentecostal churches, which we are, in Pentecostal churches, the spoken word gifts tend to be the ones that we put the greater emphasis on. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of prophecy. Preaching is generally a prophetic ministry. I come to you today to speak to you. It's not something I just came up with or thought, let me come up with a creative thing for today. I bring you a word today that I believe God wanted me to bring today. It's a prophetic ministry, a ministry of prophecy of what it is. So that we tend to emphasize the spoken gifts over other gifts. In other words, if somebody has the gift of helps, because that's listed on the list, right? Or service, we tend to not esteem that as high as a spoken gift like tongues and interpretation in tongues or prophecy or something like that. We kind of classify. The Bible does not classify them. The Bible does not put them on this list of what's more important and less important, but it's easy for us to do that and kind of highlight, and well, if you got this kind of gift, you're more spiritual, but if you got that kind of gift, maybe you're less. No. The Word of God doesn't speak that way over these things at all. The Bible speaks over them as just the ways that God gifts uniquely the children of God. The speaking gifts might be our focus, but they're not the Bible's focus. Now I want you to catch this from Exodus chapter 35, verse number 30. I want to read a passage to you that really highlights this. Exodus chapter 35, verse number 30. And then I'm going to read through here for a few verses. Watch this here. It says, then Moses said to the Israelites, so this is, he's talking to the children of God, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri. Now I'm going to give you a trick here because I'm new here. When you're reading the Bible in public and you come to a name and you don't know how to pronounce it, you get to pronounce it however you want. It's a trick. And as long as you say it confidently, everyone in the room will just go, that's how you say that. Yes. Yeah. So You get to say it however you want when you're the reader. Yeah. So, so I could say, the Lord has chosen Billy, son of Uno, and you'll just be like, wow, it doesn't even look like that. The Z must be silent. All right. So, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. Let me keep going. I want you to catch this. And he has filled them with the Spirit of God. So what are they filled with? Spirit of God is upon them. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They're filled with the Spirit of God and with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. Now, what gave them the ability to make these artistic designs? The Spirit of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God to be able to do this, to make these designs, and keep going, to cut and set stones. So just to be able to lay brick, to do their brickwork, who gave them the ability to be able to do it? The Spirit of God. They were filled with the Spirit to be able to do this, to be able to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. Catch this. God bless you. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work. God filled them with these skills. They are gifts from God to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. A couple more verses. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. In the Bible, you find passages like that, where alongside of someone being gifted by God to speak out in a public setting in a tongue or an interpretation of tongue, we got another guy who's gifted by God to be able to lay those cinder blocks. Are you with me? The gifts are all over the map. The gifts and the abilities are varying in how they are used. God gifts us very uniquely in what he gives us to do. Now, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when God fills you with his Spirit, he gives you the gift of language that you're able to pray in a language that you did not learn in order to communicate with God. We call it tongues. God gives us that as a gift that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about today. Are you with me? That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the gifts that he's reading here. These are not gifts that everyone gets, if you will, at the baptism. These are unique ways that all those who are in him are gifted in the family of God and in the body of Christ. Stay with me here in that regard. So God gifts us very uniquely with the ability to do different things. What that means is whatever you do, do it for God. Do it for God. You have the abilities you have, the talents you have, the things you do, because God gave them to you. Because they're how God made you. God did not make me how he made you. God did not give me the same talents and abilities that he gave you. He called us to different callings. He gifted us in different ways. And each of us are to use our gifts in order to glorify him. If you cook, cook for God. Come on. I'm serious. If you cook, cook. There's some people doing that today. They are cooking for God. They're out on the grills. If you paint, paint for God. If you prophesy, prophesy for God. If you serve, serve for God. If you give, give for God. If you drive, drive for God. Whatever you do, someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I don't sing, I don't teach, I can't preach, I don't know what I would do in the church. I say, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a bus driver. My response, then drive for God. There's the church van. Hello. God gave you a gift. He gave you an ability. You're good at it. It's what you do. Do it for the kingdom of God. Do it to glorify him. So whatever it is you do, we want to walk in that regard. I know a brother who his heart is, when anything breaks at the church, he wants to be called. He has the ability to fix things. If the door breaks, call him. If the doorknob isn't working, call him. If the pipe is leaking, call him. He says, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't teach, I don't do any public ministry, but I know how to fix these things. So who does he do it for? He does it for God. he does it for God. And he blesses the body of Christ, the family of God, when he does these things in that. So let me keep moving through this because I know that you came here to eat today. Not really. Or I could have an opposite perspective and say, well, there's food anyway, so we can just go as long as we want. Second point I want you to catch today. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts by grace. This is important. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts by grace. You don't earn them. You can't be good enough for them. They come by the grace of God. That means the individual who has the gift of prophecy, again, the individual, if you will, who speaks out prophetically to the body of Christ, do they have that gift because they were good enough for it? By the grace of God. No matter what the gift is, it's by the grace of God that you have that gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't do something good enough for it. God gives the gift. He gets the glory. We don't get the glory, amen? God gets the glory. He gives us in that regard. Now, I love to swim. I'm not necessarily the most outstanding swimmer, but I hold my own pretty good, and I love to swim, and I love the ocean. I love to swim in the ocean. I don't know if there's other ocean swimmers in here, if you're scared of the sharks getting you, and I'm out in the ocean when my son was younger, and he says, Dad, what if a shark came? How would we get away from him? Like, you know, would we be faster than the shark? I said, I don't have to be faster than the shark. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I just have to be faster than you. You'll get that on the way home. The problem with that is now they're both faster than me, and they really are, so that shifts, so now I need a different plan with that. So I love to swim in the ocean. One time we were in North Carolina, we're at Nag's Head, we're out there on the sand dunes, the Outer Banks, I swim out into the ocean, and I'm just hanging out, and I'm treading water, and I'm ready to swim back in, and I can't get back in. And I swim, and I swim, and I swim, and this was before Dory's Just Keep Swimming, but that was what I was doing, and I'm trying, and I can't get back. I'm caught up in like a rip current. I can't get through it. I cannot get back. I know the deal. I know if you can't get back, what do? You swim sideways, and you swim along the shore until you find a place where the current isn't spinning so that you can try to get back. I try it. I can't find a way through. I am crossing the line. I'm stopping and floating at times. I'm totally exhausted. My head goes under a couple of times. I come up. I'm trying to relax. But the ocean, of course, the water's not steady and the waves hit you. And I'm out there and I'm thinking, I can't get back. I cannot get back through this. And I'm at the point where now I'm starting to feel scared, like I'm having to calm myself down because I'm realizing I can't get back through this. So there's some surfers off to the left of me in the distance a little bit. And I look over and I see them and I start thinking about calling for help. But then I think to myself, I'll look like an idiot if I call for help. So I'm there and I'm trying to decide, is it better just to drown or to look like an idiot? Maybe if I just drown, it's better. I don't know. So I'm thinking, I don't want to look foolish and whatever. And so finally I think, no, I just have to humble myself and yell for help. I don't want to drown. Because I knew Sarai would never be able to function without me. And that's not totally accurate. But anyway, so... So I call over to this one guy. I was like, hey, I need some help. And he turns and looks at me kind of puzzled and confused at first. And I call out again, I need some help. And he kind of starts to like nonchalantly paddle in my direction. And then I go, help! And I really yell out because I was like my head going under. And then he comes really fast and he paddles over to me. And I grab his surfboard and he's like, what's up? And I told him, you know, I'm caught in the current. I can't get back. I'm exhausted. I need some help. And he was like, it's no problem. He says, let's just hold the board. He's like, can you kick? Are you too tired? I said, I can some, but not much. I was just totally wasted by the time he got to me. So I hold the board with him. And he does most of the kicking, and we kick all the way back in until I get back up to the shore. Let me tell you what did not happen. If this is the water, and I walk up on the shore after he gets me there, I did not walk up on the shore and go, I made it! Look what I did! I did it on my own! No. All I did was thank him profusely. If this was Surfer Man, it was like... Man, I was going to die. I'm serious. I was going to die. Like, thank you. You saved my life. You saved my life. I could not get back. And I knew it was nothing of me. I could not get back. It was all him that brought me back in. And our ministry in the church, it's not us. It's all him. It's all God. So when you walk in the gift that God, I don't get to come in here and preach the word of God and then walk over to my office afterwards and go, look what I did. No, I did no more than what I did on the surfboard. Are you with me? it's all God. Whatever we do for Him, it's for His glory. He gives us the gift. It's for His kingdom that we have what we have, that we do what we do in that regard. We thank Him. Gifts work this way. Romans 12:6 tells us this. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Catch that. So who gave us the gift? God does. Different ones. And He gives us these gifts by His grace. We didn't earn it. We can't be good enough for it. Like I said, that's not a license to do things that are bad. You can't say, well, if I can't be good enough, then I can do whatever I want. No. We don't sin for grace to abound. The Bible teaches us we don't want to go back to where we came from. Amen. However, I can't be good enough for it. I can't earn it in that. 1 Corinthians 12:11 tells us this. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives the gifts by grace. What if I needed for there to be... What if I needed... Let's keep $1 in case I need it for a taxi. For a phone call. You used to have a quarter for a phone call, right? Yes. Or a dime if you're even older than me. All right, so what if I needed for this room to have $25? Okay? I needed for this room, and nobody in here had any money with them. And I needed for this room to have $25. So here's one, and here's one, and here's 20, and here's one, and here's one, and here's one. Okay, how much money did I give out in the room? $25. Who got the 20? What did you do to get the 20?
Nothing.
Did you earn it?
No.
Are you better than these people?
No.
Where you didn't perform in some way for it?
No.
She got the 20 as random as anybody got the one. Who decided who got the gifts? Well, in this context, I did. But it was up to me. And nobody earned which one. She didn't get more because she was in some way better than him or whatever. I just needed $25 in the room. However I distribute it, well, that's up to me. I just got to know that what I need is in the room. Well, God gives us that way, gifts us that way in the body of Christ. He knows what the church needs. He knows what we need in order to function. So He doesn't give us all the same gift. We all have different ones. We all have different things. But you know what? Her 20 isn't worth anything by itself. Because how much do I need the room to have? 25. You know what that means? That means His one is just as important. Because without His one, I still don't get there. I still don't have the 25. And as people, we might esteem the 20. But the 20 is of no more value to me. Because without all the ones, I don't have 25 in the room. I need every gift in order to pull it all together. That's how the church works. That's how the family of God works. We have to all use the way God has gifted us. Maybe I can't lead songs the way Katie can. She's got a great voice. She's up there with that bold voice. Maybe I can't do that. I don't have to do that. God gifted her that way. God gifted someone to teach, someone to preach, someone with a spoken gift, like a tongues and interpretation of tongues. But then God also gifts people in service gifts. There are people who are gifted to serve. They paint. They lay the bricks. We saw it there in Exodus. Who gave them the gifts? The Spirit of God. They cook. They clean. They do whatever. The point is you do what you do for God. And I can't, if I'm the guy who maybe what I do is I paint, I can't look over there at the guy who does whatever and think, well, that's not fair. No, God needed someone to be able to do what He gave me also. Are you with me? In order for this to all be able to work together. So whatever we do it for the kingdom. We do it for God, and we work together in this. And then these gifts, and I've really spilled over into this with this, the gift is not for you. I said I needed for the room to have $25. So the gift is not for you. That means you need to give me that money back when you leave here today. Not really. You can keep it. You can keep it. It's not for you. The illustrations, give it back. The gift is not for you. But that's in the body of Christ, the gift is not for me. What I do is not for me. It's for the kingdom of God. It's for the body of Christ. Now, the Bible said this, and it was in our opening passage in 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, they're given. What is a manifestation? A manifestation is a way that God is revealed. God is revealed through the way that He gifts us, the way that the abilities, the talents that He gives us, they reveal God. That's what that is, a manifestation. You can't see God. But when we say we see the glory of God, what we mean is we see the manifestation of the presence of God. So let's say you had a need. You have no food. And we prayed for you. And then God brought you groceries. One time my wife and I, when we got out of Bible college, we were so broke. We had moved to New Jersey. We have nothing. We're out of food. We have no money. I don't have a credit card. I don't have anything. I have no means of getting anything. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'm there. And one day, we're at the house, and we're down. We're out of baby food, the whole bit. We had a little baby. And I said to my wife, I'm going to the mailbox to get the check from Publishers Clearinghouse real quick. So I leave, and I walk out to the mailbox, and I open it up, and there's an envelope in there from a church that I had done a lot of volunteer work at while I was a student in Bible college. And I opened it up, and in the envelope is $200. Praise God. Amen. For them, their gift was giving in that context. That was what that was for. So that $200, that is the manifestation of God. I couldn't see God, but I can see what God did. The $200 is the glory of God. I can't see God, but I see what God did. The manifestation of the Spirit is to see what God did. That means when we come in, and while we thank one another and appreciate one another, and somebody's using their gifts and talents for the kingdom of God, what we see through them is we see God. We see God. God is revealed through our using the abilities and the talents and the gifts that we have for Him. We're working for Him. It's all about seeing God. And you can see the glory and the manifestation of God in a healing. You can see it, of course, the Bible teaches us in nature, in a sunset. You can see it and hear it in a spiritual word, but it's about God's presence being made manifest. The church is not a business. In many ways, in America, because of the way government is set up and rules and regulations, there are aspects and functions of the church that operate like a business. But the church is not a business. The church is a supernatural body of believers come together who are revealing the presence of God through the unique ways that God has gifted them so that the world and all around them can see the presence of God in what they do as we come together and as we work together. That's what the church is. Amen. And we work together. We work together. As we looked at last Sunday, we work together in unity. Amen. Because when we're united, it brings the anointing of God and fruitfulness in our lives. Psalm 133, we looked at it. When we come together and we work together in unity, it brings us over Him. And when we work together in love, we do as we looked at a couple of Sundays ago. We keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing's what? Love God. And love one another. So we're prioritizing in that way. We're loving God. We're loving each other. We work together in unity and in love. But then uniquely within that body, we're each using our individual gifts and our talents to manifest the presence of God. And that is whether you're the intercessor, where perhaps no one knows what you do, because you do it behind closed doors, or you're somebody playing an instrument on a stage. Everybody needs to be doing what they do. Because God's gifted you uniquely in what you do, and it reveals that. And as we do this together, John 13:35, Jesus said this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you use your gift better than other people so that people look at you. No, he doesn't say that. He said, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you what? Yeah, you have love, if you love one another. We do it together in love. We do this in love. Just a final thing, and we're going to go eat. We're going to go eat. Maybe it's the final thing. I think it is. Jimmy Comenzo is a pastor who I preached many years ago, who shared a story that meant a great deal to me. It was when I was in Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I felt like a fish out of water. I went to a residential Bible school. I thought in my own home local church that I was all that. And then I got there with all these hundreds of students with their amazing talents and gifts and abilities. And I thought, I can't do anything. Like, I am nothing like these people. Like, these people have talents and abilities. I see Katie nodding. She's at a big school, bigger than the one I went to by a long shot. You feel like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. And Jimmy Comenzo, he shared a story with us one time in a chapel at Valley Forge where he was doing an internship at a teen challenge. And he says he got to the teen challenge, and there were a lot of interns that summer, probably about 20 of them. And he said they had us all gather on day one, and we were all in this room, and the director of the teen challenge, sitting up there with a notebook, said, I need to know what each of you can do. And he points at the first person. And the guy started to run through his list. Well, I play the guitar, and I sang, and I can speak, and you know, and I tap dance and juggle chainsaws, or whatever it was he said. He went through his whole list of the things he could do. He's like, all right, great. He goes to the next person. What do you do? Oh, I sing, and I know how to do puppets, and I can make things, and all this. And Jimmy Comenzo said that by the time they just get to the second person, he was already a nervous wreck. He said by the time three or four people went down the line, he was scared to death because he couldn't think of what his answer was going to be. He didn't know what his answer would be. He says, I stood up and I walked out of the room, out onto the porch of the Teen Challenge Center. And I stood there and I prayed, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do anything. Like, I don't do anything. These people are naming things that are incredible. I can't do the things that they can do. What do I say? And he said, he heard God speak to his heart and said, when he comes to you, you say, I can love people. And he said, he went back in and he sat down, still nervous. He's the last guy. He's the last guy. He's on the back row, the back seat when he comes back in, and they're going all the way through, and he missed a few of the people's incredible talents of how they could weld underwater or whatever they could do. So, and they're going through, and he comes all the way down, and when he points at Jimmy Comenzo, and he points to him and says, and what can you do? And he's there with his pen, and Jimmy Comenzo said, I can love people. And he says, the guy drops his pen and points at him and says, you're what I need. That was what he was looking for. I need somebody who can love these people. These people are struggling with drug addiction and alcoholism, and we need to love them back into the kingdom is what he was after. And it would be easy for him to think, my gift isn't like the other people's gifts. But in the kingdom, everything is needed. Everything is needed. What you do. We want to use our gifts. Amen? That said, to pull this together. Again, we do all this in unity. We do all this in love. And as we do this, God is revealed to Silver Spring and the surrounding community as people see our love for one another, as we're all doing what we do. Nobody's sitting on the sidelines. We're doing what we do. His Spirit is made manifest, and it is then that the church is most effective. The World Cup is going on, and I know not everybody's into it, but the World Cup's going on right now. A team can go out on the field, and 10 of their players can perform, and one of them can be out there not really doing his job. Can they still play? Sure. Will they be as good? Of course not. It's in any sport. A basketball team can come out and five guys be on the court, and if one of them's not really in the game, they're not as good. You can still play the game with the four people who are focused, but you're not as good as you could have been. The church is going to keep going no matter whether we do our part or not, because the church is Jesus's, and he's building his church, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. So the church is going to keep going no matter what, all right? It's his. However, to be most effective in the kingdom, we're all doing our part. We're all a part of that. In that sense, remember, as 1 Corinthians 12:21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, because the whole body needs every part. And it's the same in the body of Christ and the family of God. Would you stand with me? Amen. Hallelujah. It's everybody doing their part. Katie, if you'd come and if you could play for us as I pray today. I know we end today uniquely, and whatever your plans for today, maybe you didn't even know we were having the picnic afterwards. I'm hoping if you're able, you'll still stay with us, and there's some chicken and ribs and all kinds of great stuff out there, and we want to get to know you a little better, and I'm hoping you'll stay. But before we head to that, I want to pray over us today, and I want you to pray as an act of commitment as well. As we do what we do, as we commit ourselves to doing what we do in love, in unity, for the kingdom of God. Silver Spring Assembly, we need all of you. That's what we see there in the Word of God. We need everybody. Church is a team, it's a family. We need everybody. Whether you're 14 years old or 94 years old or 104 years old, wherever you're at, we need you. We need you doing whatever it is that you do and however God has gifted you in the kingdom of God. And we do that in unity and in love. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray together. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you for redeeming us. Boy, the greatest gift you ever gave to any of us is the gift of salvation. We didn't save our own souls. You sent Jesus. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that if we would believe in you, we would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift you gave to any of us. Lord, if there's anybody here who's joined us today, Lord God, who's not in a relationship with you, they've not received that gift of salvation, I know that's the most important gift. I pray that today, Lord God, today they will invite you to live in their heart, to forgive them of all their sins, and become a part of the family of God. Today, today, Lord God, may that relationship with you begin. Draw us all near to you. But Lord God, in your family, as the children of God, once that commitment has been made, we know that you then gift us uniquely for the common good. May we as a church walk in those gifts. May we, Lord God, use how you've gifted us for the good of one another. May the world see your presence. May the church see the manifestation of your presence through us walking and using those gifts, Lord God. Every one of us is important, and we want to be used for your glory. For your glory. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for a brother or sister of mine who perhaps has pulled back from serving you. Maybe there's someone who was active in service, but they've kind of walked away for a season. Maybe there was an offense. Maybe they were hurt in some way. I know sometimes we rub each other wrong, like all families do. I pray that you give us grace to forgive, to continue to work together in love, to come together, Lord God, united by your Spirit, that you would be revealed through us in a greater way. Be glorified. Be glorified, we pray. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I know some of us are a little bolder than others. And for some people, having a preacher tell you to say something to the person next to you is like your greatest fear, because you're a little more of an introvert. But hang with me on this one. Would you turn to someone around you and let them know, I need for you to be you. That's what this is about. Tell somebody that, because you do. We need one another. I need for you to be you. I need for you to do what you do for God. Amen? For you to walk in that. And together, come on church, together we'll manifest His presence. Amen? Come on, give God an offering of praise with your hands right now. Amen. Give God an offering of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless you. Hang out. Have lunch. God's blessing on that food and those who have served. Make sure you shake someone's hand who has served this morning. Let them know you appreciate their effort. And have a victorious week in Christ Jesus. Amen.